Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me begin by adding my own word of welcome to that of my colleague Nolan earlier in the service. It is really good to welcome you here this evening to St. Thomas's Church on this special night of Christmas celebration. And if we've not met before, I can't actually see who you are out there tonight. It's a bit bright up here. My name's Andy Brewerton. I'm the vicar here in Kilnest. And thanks very much for coming along to be with us tonight. Well, it was 4:24 in the afternoon on the 23rd of July this year that something pretty special happened. I don't know if you remember it. It was a once-in-a-generation kind of event that lit up social networks and made headlines all around the world. A baby was born at the Lindo wing of St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington, weighing in at 8 pounds and 6 ounces, a son for William and Kate, a grandson for Charles, a great-grandson for our Queen Elizabeth. History was made as a future king was born. The question, of course, facing William and Kate as they look down at their newborn son in their arms, what on earth are we going to call him? Well, I wonder if you've ever been in that position. Needing to pick a name for a child, quite a responsibility. Names are important, aren't they? We've got to get it right. And finding just the right name for your brand new bundle of talcum powdered joy, well, it's a tough one, isn't it? Well, at the time, back in the summer, I guess you'll remember, there was great speculation. William Hill, they were offering 25 to 1 on Louis, 20 to 1 on Arthur. Henry, he was 5 to 1. James was 2 to 1. But in the end, they settled on George, Prince George of Cambridge, but only for now. You see, one day, someday, this little lad will be King George. That's why names are important, isn't it? This little guy will grow up one day to reign as our king. I wonder if William and Kate had any help from one of those little baby names books, you know, that you look through as expectant parents. What are we going to call him? What if it's a girl? What if it's a boy? What if we can't decide? You know, the name George, from one of those little books, actually means farmer. I thought it might be fun, as I was sort of doing a bit of research into these things, to look up the names of some of our staff team here this evening. My name, Andrew, that means brave. It's rather good, isn't it? Apparently, Wendy means friendly. Amanda means lovable. Nolan means descendant of the famous one. I don't know who that is. And Jenny means white wave. Who'd have thought it? We better give Jenny a little wave, just for a hello. But names are important, aren't they? Everyone's name is important. So what about Mary's child? What on earth are they going to call him? Well, when God gave his child a name, he didn't leave that one to chance at all. He didn't even leave it to Mary and Joseph. God wanted to explain to the world what the boy would become. That's why God gave him the name Jesus. And Jesus means God's rescuer or savior. As the angel announced, because this baby would save his people from their sins. That's what we read about in Matthew's book, Matthew's account of Christmas. We had it in our booklets there on page 6 if you want to follow along as I read some of those verses again. You see, the story of Joseph, the carpenter, and his young fiancée, Mary, they're deeply in love with one another and pledged or engaged to be married, it says in verse 18. I guess young Joseph, he'd been the happiest chap in town, wouldn't he? A little spring in his step, a twinkle in his eye, looking forward to the big day when Mary would become his beautiful wife. But then one day, completely out of the blue, Mary broke some news to him. News which was going to turn Joseph's world upside down. And the news? Well, just go along to any nativity play. It happens every year, up and down the land. It's plain to see. Young Mary, she's going to give birth to a cushion. Now, actually, back in the story, it's a bit more serious than that. You know, Mary was unable to even look poor Joseph in the eye. She tells him that she's pregnant. To spare us the gory details, the Bible writers just say she was found to be with child. Well, you've got to feel pretty sorry for young Joseph, haven't you? In an instant, his whole world falls apart. The wheel has well and truly fallen off his wagon. Pregnant? What on earth has Mary been up to? How could she do such a thing? Now, for her part, Mary assures Joseph that there isn't another man. Some story about an angel coming to see her. But poor old Joseph, he's heard enough. That's the one bit of his biology lessons that's well and truly fixed up here. He could remember that bit, the birds and the bees. This was all too much. If Joseph had been on Facebook, he's just set his status to single. So we read on, don't we, how Joseph decides to divorce Mary quietly, to spare her embarrassment and shame, to draw a line under their engagement, and for the two of them to go their separate ways. That was until God stepped in and sent his angel to have a word with Joseph. The baby wasn't going to need a stepfather, and Joseph was the perfect man for the job. Let me read a little bit from verse 20. After Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of a sudden, we get a whole new perspective on things, don't we, as God explains what's going on, as we begin to see what's happening. The angel says that the baby is from God. That the child has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Mary wasn't making it up. It's true. But that's not all. Now, the angel's words begin to explain what Christmas is really all about. Why this child has been sent and why the baby's name was so important. Now, why do I say that? Well, because the baby's name gives it away. Christmas is about forgiveness. Just as Wendy means friendly and Andrew means brave, so Jesus means saviour. Call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. Why do we need saving like that? Well, let me try and explain. The problem is that us men and women, and boys and girls for that matter, have got things all upside down. We instinctively put ourselves right at the top of the tree. A top dog, creator of our own destinies. We've forgotten what the Bible says, that actually we're the created beings. God should be at the top. He's the boss. He's in charge. We're supposed to be further down. Now, the trouble is we've forgotten all that. So most of us don't have very much at all to do with the God who made us. We don't love him like we should. We don't serve him like he's asked us. A lot of people manage to go through their whole lives without giving their Heavenly Father a second thought. And when we put it like that, well, it's pretty shocking, isn't it? Everything we are and everything we have comes from the Lord. From the clothes on our backs to the foods on our table, every breath we take, the money in our bank accounts, the family and friends around us, it's all from God and given in love by our Maker. I wonder if you've ever given a Christmas present to somebody and not received a thank you in return. It's just not nice, really, is it? But over and over again, that's how we treat the living God. We want his stuff, but we don't really want him. God, our Maker, has every right to be in charge of us. Of course he has, but so often we just don't let him. Because we want to be the boss. We want to be in control of everything, our lives and our destinies. Well, very simply, that's what the Bible calls sin. Men and women living in God's world, taking all God's good things, but without giving God a second thought, let alone a thank you. Now, the trouble is with living like that, it puts us in a place that we can't get out of. Our Heavenly Father hates it when we ignore him, and rightly so. I hate it when people ignore me. Our sin becomes a barrier between us. It separates us from him in this life, and when we die, it will cut us off forever from him. You see, sin drives a wedge in our relationship between us and God, like a terrible sickness or an awful disease. Our sin has infected us. We're sick with it. And sinful, messed up people, whoever we are, we all need a saviour. That's why Christmas is such good news, because Christmas is about forgiveness. God's plan of forgiveness, which began when he sent that little baby, Jesus, into the world. Now, the other night on TV, I was watching an episode of 24 Hours in A&E. I don't know if you keep up with that sort of thing. It was filmed at King's College Hospital down in London. And on this particular episode, we met a young lady on there called Ashley. She was 19 years old, and she was studying to be a vet at university. It was a Sunday lunchtime. This particular episode was being filmed, and poor Ashley, she'd been involved in a very nasty car accident, was badly injured, and so was rushed on blue lights into hospital. But the bit of the story I remember most of what was shown was of Ashley's mum. Now, she was stood by her daughter's bed. Ashley was in a pretty bad way, and like any parent, mum really was really going through the mill. But at that moment, mum said some pretty amazing things. She said this: all sorts of things go through your mind. You want to do whatever you can to make it better, to take away the pain. You love them so much that if you could swap places, well, then you would, wouldn't you? It's very moving, isn't it? Ashley's life hangs by a thread, and mum expresses such deep concern that she'll willingly swap places with the daughter that she loves. Well, friends, that's just like our God at Christmas. When he saw his people sick with sin, in desperate need and in terrible trouble, his heart was moved. But unlike Ashley's mum, God didn't just weep about it. He really did swap places. He sent Jesus to earth in the greatest swap of all time. And the birth of Jesus, not a once in a generation birth of a king, this was a once for all time birth of God's king, an event that divided history into BC and AD, one of the greatest events that the world has ever known. You see, this child will do what no one else in history has ever managed before or since, to live his life just as God intended it. As we read on through Matthew's book, we see how Jesus lived the life that we could never live. And yet at the end, he died the death that we all deserved to die. That was the swap. That was Jesus taking on himself all of our sin and all of our shame. And he died in our place, leaving us free and forgiven. That's how Jesus saves us. That's how the rescue came about, not through his birth, but through his death. On a wooden cross on a hill outside Jerusalem, Jesus was punished for sin so that we could be forgiven. That's why the birth of Jesus is such good news. It's the start of God's rescue plan. Sins forgiven by Jesus on the cross, dealt with once and for all. Giving me, if I want it, a fresh start with God. Freedom to love him and serve him as I should. Putting things back up the right way with God, back in charge, back where he belongs. Well, I know that for many here, we already know what it means to be forgiven by God, but perhaps as you're listening, this is all new to you. You've not heard this explained like this before. As you listen, you've begun to see for the first time what Christmas is about. Maybe you've realized that you're not living with God in charge of things, and you'd like to know this kind of rescue for yourself. Well, you'll be pleased to know that after some expert treatment and care in A&E, Ashley went on to make a full and fine recovery. But the question for us, having diagnosed that sickness in ourselves, what will we do about our sin? Because without God's help, without his rescue, we're still on the critical list. You see, tonight God is offering each one of us that swap, our sin for his forgiveness. A free swap, a free gift, the best gift that we could ever know this Christmas time. And so please don't leave that gift under the tree or pack it away on Twelfth Night with the tinsel and the fairy lights. Well, I know that in a group like this, we're all going to be in different places. Some will have already decided a long time ago to get going with God. And others will have decided more recently to do that. Well, others still will be still thinking about some of these things. Well, this Christmas time, I want to offer us some next steps, if I may. some different ways to help us think a little bit more about some of these important things. I've just got three things to offer you this evening. The first one is this. This is a copy of the whole of the New Testament bit of the Bible, including the accounts of Jesus' birth, his life, and his death. And if you like, if you'd like one of these, this book, it's yours just for £1, £1 tonight, especially all sort of Christmas deal. We've managed to get hold of some. And if you'd like one, they'll be at the table at the back on the resources table. Just pop your pound in the pot and help yourself. Second, I've got some of these little booklets. It's called Jesus, Who, Why, and So What. Five pictures that sum up the good news of Christianity. And this little book would help you if you're thinking about these things. And if you're into pictures, lots of nice pictures to help you explain a little bit more about what Jesus did when he came to earth. Thirdly, we're running a group after Christmas, a group that we call One Life, What's It All About? And it runs for 7 weeks. It's on a Wednesday night and it begins on the 15th of January. Now, over those 7 weeks, we'll be thinking about some of the big questions in life as we explore the life of Jesus for ourselves, who he is and why he came and what it means to follow him. So you see, there we are. Three different resources for you. I hope one of those might be helpful for you, more of them if you'd like. They're all on the table at the back. And if you'd like any of those, help yourself as you go out this evening. My friends, if God hasn't been part of your past, or even if he's not part of your present, please don't worry about that. Because of Jesus, because of Christmas, even tonight, God can be part of your future. The Christmas story offers us a wonderful new future with God, back where he belongs. Let's pray as we sit. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he came to save his people from their sins. Lord, would you help us tonight to realize the enormity of our sin and our great need of a saviour. And help us, Lord, each one, to make that next step towards you. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.